I don't know how, because I know facts and statistics kind of change, but according to one I found, is the United States is number four. So that means we're top tier, number four on the list of the world's top wine producers. Italy, France, and Spain occupy the top three spots, respectively. So, you know, that's a great segue into the second segment, Mark. You know, wine grapes, and you touched on it. What's our state's overall potential as winemaking, as a winemaking state? You kind of hinted to that because of the quality of the wine grapes that we produce. And then what would be your prognosis for the 2020 fall harvest, which is coming up?
So we have taken meticulous notes in our field, and I'm looking at a far smaller harvest than I had originally predicted. So I'm saying I believe that our overall harvest yields will be down about 20 to 25% at Flying Leap. I don't have data on other people's vineyards, but we're looking at a smaller harvest, which is really a function of the heat and lack of rain. Believe it or not, it's just been really, really hot out there, and we haven't gotten any rain. We normally start getting rain, in about mid-July timeframe. We start to get some pretty significant rainfall. We just haven't had that.
And Romy was bringing up an interesting point in the break.
We always get the question, not always, but regularly during our nursery hour, which is the third Saturday of every month in our 8 o'clock hour, what grapes can I grow to make wine? And really, when you're looking at the lower elevations, Phoenix and Tucson and Casa Grande, at those lower elevations, there really isn't a grape that you would enjoy the wine, drinking as a wine. You know, these higher elevations in Elgin and Cornville, where the wine industry is really growing, you're at a higher elevation. And Mark, what type of grape varieties are you growing?
Well, so I can give you an exact answer. And in Arizona, most wine grapes are grown in Wilcox. Okay? Wilcox is the undisputed king of grape viticulture in the state of Arizona. Their second, the number two is Elgin, and Elgin produces about 21%. A small fraction of the state's wine grapes are grown up in the northern part of the state. But there's plantings going on in all three. But Wilcox is really the predominant wine-growing region. And every winery you visit, or not every winery, but most of them will have some amount of Wilcox fruit in their wines. And Wilcox grapes are grown at about 4,100 to 4,300 feet, depending on which vineyard they're pulling grapes out of. Our vineyards out there are on the higher end. In Elgin, we're sitting at 5,000 feet, so it's much, much higher in Elgin. Tucson, you're looking at about 1,800 to 2,200 feet. In Phoenix, you're looking anywhere from 1,100 to 1,400 feet, much, much lower. You asked about what types. In Arizona, the undisputed king of wine grapes is Syrah. Without question, Syrah is by far the most common wine grape that's grown here. We grow it. We don't grow much of it, but we do grow it. Number two is either Grenache or Mourvèdre. I'm going with a little bit of some dated data on that, but Grenache is it's actually a difficult grape to grow. It's a very tender, very delicate grape that produces a soft, raspberry-flavored, very luscious wine that's very popular for rosés in particular. And then Mourvèdre is a grape from Spain. It's referred to by a number of different names, either Monastrell or Nataro. Grows well in Arizona. You'll find a lot of Mourvèdre. Number four is Petit Syrah. Is also referred to as Duraf. And Petit Syrah, which is not even related to the Syrah grape, is actually quite common in Arizona nowadays. And then there's some white grapes that are common. Viognier is very common. So is an Italian varietal called Malvasia Bianca. Beautiful white grape that's grown here. We actually grow 24 different kinds of grapes at Flying Leap. The two grapes that we grow predominantly are Grenache, Uigné Blanc, and Petit Verdot. Those are the three that we have the most acreage of.
Were you influenced to grow the grapes you're growing? Because I know for every one of the wine growers and winemakers, they're picking different varieties. And granted, I'm sure some of that is because of the region that they're in. But were you influenced besides climate and sunshine in Arizona, was it also market or you just...
Okay, so we... Many people plant grapes just based on what they like, which is always the worst way to do it. What we did is we knew that in a small market, we're going to have to sell wines that were rare, that carried a substantial premium. And so we planted grapes that we knew carried a significant premium. And then we thinned that list down to the ones that had proven success in Arizona. We didn't want to experiment. So, and then we wanted to plant most of our stuff on grafted rootstock because we didn't want, you know, we wanted to do that as an insurance policy as farmers, essentially, to make sure that our grapes were drought tolerant and disease tolerant. So that primarily it was market stuff, though, Julie. We wanted grapes that produced really, really good wines that had a proven track record of success in this climate.
And how many total acres of wine vineyards do y'all have in the ground right now?
You know, that is a really good question. And acreage, I've always chuckled at acreage because acreage means different things to different people.
Okay, and we'll talk about those differences here. We can do a lot of things here, but we can't stop the clock. Time for Bottom of the Hour News Break. We're talking with Mark Burrs of the Flying Leaf Ranch and Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau.